championships, 27 SEC titles, 131 first-team All-Americans, 70 postseason appearances, 39 postseason victories. This is Alabama football. And this is Alabama tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
So here we go. If you want to jump in, it's Alabama tradition. It's the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. We will be able to take some phone calls here at 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904. If you want to talk some Alabama Crimson Tide football, we'll do it here. Martin Houston, myself, will lead you through this next hour, and we'll talk a lot about Alabama. We're down to 60 days away. 60 days away. We started at 245. And we're down to 60 as we close down the July the 4th holiday. It seems like everybody will be back to work. And, you know, we'll be talking about media days in the coming days. And we'll be talking about fall camp at the end of this month and a lot more. Martin Houston, I hope your day is going well. Welcome in to Alabama Tradition.
I am doing well, Ryan, and glad to be in with you, man.
Man, it's good. And you know what? I just realized that I've not hit the correct button yet, but I will here in just a second. But been a very busy day, and hopefully you had a chance to enjoy. Did you do anything productive over the July the 4th holiday, Martin? Because we've been talking about unproductive weekend for us.
Yes, I slept. No, I'm just kidding. I did a little grilling on Sunday. Of course, it was the 4th. We had a great service at our church and baptism, and we had Freedom Fest where we fellowshipped and had a great meal together. And then yesterday I cut down limbs and trees, so I guess it was productive.
Yesterday you cut down limbs, huh?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I didn't even get the invitation, huh?
Well, yeah, I know you love to do that kind of stuff, so yeah. I don't know why I didn't.
I got big pole saws and everything, so I mean we could have.
Yeah, I need some bigger pole saws. I'm gonna have to get you in on that next time.
Okay. Yeah, we can connect and.
There.
Yeah, I mean, no, we're here. You sound crystal clear. We spent a little time, and I feel like that this is that turning point of the summer when you get to this day. From here, it's at the back end. You've topped the mountain. Now you're on the back end, sliding down to fall camp, and you know coaches are getting their final couple of vacation days in. And you know, with the month of June being so busy around recruiting, it's now time to kind of get dialed in on the upcoming fall camp, and that'll start at the end of this month.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, Ryan. You know, for us folks that love football, with media days just around the corner and all that goes with that, it's going to be it's hard to believe that we're this close. Kind of with COVID, it's almost like COVID didn't, what's the best way to say it? Sam and I were talking, it's like you start talking about stuff and then you realize, well, that wasn't last year, that was the year before, because COVID kind of messed everything up. But looking forward to a normal year.
Well, we've been talking about this because SEC Media Days, and we keep getting these statements about, well, they're going to do this and they're going to do this, and we don't even know. I mean, we're literally 2 weeks away, and we have not got a list of players that's going to be available for SEC Media Days. So we have no clue if they're even going to do players. We assume that they'll do players, but we keep getting these emails about SEC Media Days, and it's like, come on, guys. Come on. At this point, Let's move in the right direction, because I mean, if we're going to have a full stadium at 100% capacity, let's quit playing games. Let's just do the thing.
Yeah, and what do you think? Who do you think is going to be the guys?
Well, you okay? So if you, let's just say that they're going to do three like they've done in the past. You got to take Christian Harris, because you're going to depend on him to be that ultimate leader. It's probably going to be two from the defensive side. Is probably where I would go. And then I think you might go a guy like Daniel Wright. You might go a guy like Jordan Battle. They brought him quite a bit. Josh Job could be another guy. But then I think you also go to the other side of the football, and you're pretty limited because you know he's not going to take a quarterback.
Well, and a young guy at that.
Right.
I think if there's two offensive guys, I think it'll be 2 6-year guys.
Chris Owens. Yeah.
And Brian Robinson as a reward for – I mean, you know, Saban sometimes he is such a, you know, old school loyalist, even though he evolves as he needs to. He is a big time old school type of guy, and that loyalty and them coming back for that sixth year, it may be a reward for those two offensive guys, and it shows the other players. You know, you've talked to Coach Stallings when he talked about how even if you were a walk on, if you got to that senior rank, you got invited to the senior. You didn't have to be a star. You just got – if you got to be a senior, he considered you a leader and somebody he wanted to show as a model for his program.
And you're talking about the breakfast that you guys would do on Thursday morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every Thursday, Coach Stallings, we kind of sit around and talk about it. And, of course, I have some fun stories with my son eating out of Coach Stallings.
Happy 30th birthday. That has to make you feel old.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing.
I saw it this weekend. It was happy birthday to Xavier.
And that will always kind of remind me of how far removed I am from the game because, you know, he was 18 months old when we won that national championship. And the other day he took a picture with his son that's not quite mimicking that picture of he and I. From that Sports Illustrated, so that was pretty funny.
So, Martin, I want to ask you about Christian Harris. I want to talk to you because it seems like he's getting a lot of publicity, rightfully so. But you think about that defensive side of the football. I don't feel like that we had that guy last year. I think Dylan could have been that guy, but I think injuries probably prevented him from maybe being that guy. He may have been as far as a leadership style, but I don't think he was a guy that if you're an offensive coach that you had to know where Dylan Moses was on that side of the field. Can Christian Harris get us back in that right direction and be that, you know, that alpha linebacker that we've kind of come to know under Nick Saban in this 14-year run? When you look at Christian Harris, what are your expectations going in?
Oh, I totally believe that he has all the makings to be – you know, one of those guys that you could, you know, put back in the Rolando McClain and Reuben Foster and Raglan, you know, jersey, and he would fit right in from the intensity and playmaker. And I felt bad when I found out that Dylan had played hurt all year because I was hard on him.
Me too.
Quite often. And
but, I mean, all you can do is judge based on what you see, though.
Right, and what we saw was not the Dylan Moses we had become accustomed to seeing, and we knew something was off, but I thought it was just that – I thought it was more of him having the issue, like, remember Derrick Rose, how many years – well, you may not. Basketball player, you know, was going to challenge LeBron for being the best. He got hurt, and he said out the whole next year, Ryan, he could even play mentally. And so I thought that's what it was, that it was a mental thing. And undoubtedly, when you saw what happened on draft day, it wasn't. But as far as Christian Harris goes, I think he is an alpha dog. I think he was that last year. And here's what I think, Ryan. I think Tua Toa is going to be a guy that makes or break Christian Harris in being – the level we think he can be. Not that the other guys can't, but I think you put those two dogs out there, man, and all of a sudden, which side you going to run to? You know, there is no weak side with those two. And in this case, I know I'm beating around the bush. My concern is Christian Harris an instinctive player or a cerebral player or both. And what I mean by that, if he's not cerebral, then Ryan, it will slow him down. He won't be as aggressive, and he'll be thinking instead of reacting. And I think a guy who has 2 years in this system, like Toa Toa, allows him to be that. And he doesn't have to be the one calling the plays, because he can just go out there and play. And if that happens, I think he'll be everything we want in that linebacker. Maybe even a Butkus Award winner.
So when you look at defense's side of the field, there's – I mean, you back up, you look at defensive line, you got plenty of depth. You got enough guys that you can rotate through, and, you know, we'll see if these guys continue to develop. You look at the linebackers, you're deep there. Secondary, yeah, you want to see who is going to step into that Patrick Surtain junior role, who's going to be the opposite from Josh Joe, but I think he can step up and be that that type of, you know, defensive back. But you look at that opposite, there's just not a lot of questions. I guess the biggest question I have around defense is, can you be really elite in this current time that we live in? And if we're talking about defense this time next year, or I say, look, let's move it up. Let's say we're talking about it in January, February about defense, then we're going to walk away going, you can no longer be an elite defense in current college football, because this team's got everything that you need to be an elite defense in current college football. We'll see if it can happen.
Well, the question becomes, Ryan, is how do you define elite?
Well, and maybe that's the part that we have to really debate and figure out which way we should go.
Yeah, what – okay, with – and I'd ask this question I actually mulled it around in my head. Is the defense more likely to hold teams to drop their average per game 2.5 points, or the offense more likely to drop their production a touchdown? Meaning that we would have an average of just at 17 points a game. I think it was 19.4 last year, and our offense averaged 48 and some change. So we'd be looking at 42 points a game or 17. Which one is more likely? And think about that, right? 17 points, and would you consider that elite?
I would. I would in current college football, because I think that's a shutout. I think 17 points is a shutout in current college football.
Yeah, so and so that's the question, is you think this defense can get back to that point, get us to that point. And I say if last year's defense held an all-SEC schedule run to 19.4, and you really think about it, you get rid of Ole Miss and Florida, and, you know, what was our defense last year?
Sure.
You know, those two games kind of skewed the numbers a little bit. And then, of course, you look at what we did to Notre Dame and Ohio State. We ended the season playing some pretty elite defense in terms of those two. And people say, well, Justin Fields was hurt, et cetera. That matter. You know, I mean, we still held the teams to what we held them to. But sometimes, Ryan, your offense can be a great defense in today's market. When you make the other team have to chase you the way we made teams, you kind of get out of your rhythm, because you know that if I don't score this time, they're going to be 2 touchdowns ahead, and then you start pressing from that point on.
Well, when you look at this team, it's just like you almost have to create things that you're concerned about. Because, I mean, you really do. I mean, you have to almost fabricate them. Because I was on another show, and it was on in Atlanta, and they said, what's your biggest concern around Alabama? And I was like, well, you know, it's going to be tricky to get the jerseys all straight and get those ironed out. Like, it's just hard to create something. I mean, we could talk about Bryce Young, but I think Alabama's
– You and Pat, y'all drank the Kool-Aid, hey?
Oh, yeah. Turn it up. Two hey. Hands.
Hey, Ryan, Pat called me the other day, man, and he was talking about, will Nick Saban hands down lock it up, shut all the mouths about being the greatest all time when we three-peat? And I said, Pat, did I miss something? I mean,
But I mean, in all fairness, though, where does this team stumble? Like, okay, so let's say this team is
quarterback
not
depth,
and that could be one of the issues. And injuries could be a, because we've had the injury bug around here. I know we feel like we solved it after 1 year under the new strength condition guys, but that could be one area that if you have some injuries, you mentioned quarterback depth. What if you have an injury at quarterback? Where do you go?
Yeah, he's not the biggest guy in the world, and the last little guy we had is the only guy that never finished. You know, Tua, I'm saying. You know, Tua's the only quarterback that's ever missed a start under Saban.
Wow. And that's a crazy stat within itself.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that would be the only concern, Ryan, is experience. Dropping something early to me is the most likely scenario coming out against Miami and them throwing all kind of stuff against the walls. We try to make it stick and our offense not clicking on that day. And, you know, Bryce Young being out of sorts on his first big show. To me, that's kind of the weakness is just the experience that this team has from an offensive side of the ball. Ryan, it's crazy to think.
8 starters.
Yeah.
On the offense. Is that where you were going? I'm sorry.
You sure that's all? Where we got a starter at on offense?
Well, you've got Evan Neal at tackle. Yeah. Emil Ekior. And yeah. I guess I'm counting Chris Owens.
Oh, okay. You're counting Chris as a starter. I don't count Chris as a starter. Not yet. I mean, you know, I wasn't considered a starter till I walked into the season as the man. So,
well, how about a guy?
But like, he's experienced and he started when we lost the starter. But as far as returning, he was not the man that was good enough to be the first rotation last year. But he's very experienced, and so I'm okay with you giving him.
Well,
that.
Then, and then you got John Metchie. You got John Metchie is should be a big role. And I think that's another question is can he be that number one guy? Can he be the guy? Because we talk about linebackers to get that back. We've had a streak of wide receivers, some pretty talented number one guys since Amari Cooper stepped on that field.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing. I think that you're going to see. We saw Ajay Hall show some special stuff. I think this one of the biggest moves, we don't talk much about it. I think the kid from Ohio State is going to be a game changer for our offense because he's a kid that, I mean, did you see him play against Clemson?
Good looking kid.
He can fly.
And it's the most talented wide receiver room in all of college football is up at Ohio State. So it's not like he left. I mean, he left with a pretty good group up there.
Right. And he was playing, last year. And then you got Ajay Hall, you got Trayshon Holden. Don't forget Slate Bolden is going to be, to me, I like Slate Bolden. He's just a lunch pail guy that you look up and all of a sudden, he's got 2 or 3 key catches and key first down. And I think he'll be even more part of the system and the way they do things.
We're going to be a lot bigger at the wide receiver position, too.
Huh?
We're going to be a lot bigger at the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
Like our size is going to be big.
Will we use that? We've never had a 50-50 guy that we use. We've had 50-50 guys, but they've never really been able to break in. Like Cam Sim goes off to the Washington Redskins and the guy may be all pro before the season's over next year. Barely could get on the field here. And we've had several of those guys, but we've made our living in that, 5'11 to 6 foot range, tight wide receivers other than Julio Jones and Amari Cooper as a whole. So we do have a couple of 6'3", 6'4 guys, and then we got a couple of speed guys. It's a lot of talent in that room that's young. And look for those guys to step up.
Well, and then you got Billingsley, might as well be a wide receiver. I mean, he's a tight end, but I mean, that's a mismatch.
Yes. Maybe he'll do to others – what we had done unto us. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you – no, I'm sorry. As you'd have them do unto you. So we've had it done to us with the wide receiver position, Ole Miss and Texas A&M and a couple others. So maybe he'll be able to do that. And he really is a wide receiver. And Cameron Latou looked great, Ryan, in the
In
the spring game. So
that's Martin and I's opinion on Alabama. If you want to jump in, 205-342-9904. We'll take your phone calls and a lot more. I'm going to read an opposing view from a SEC coach against the University of Alabama. He breaks down Alabama. We'll do that next right here on Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Alabama football countdown clock is driven by Crawford Insurance, Tuscaloosa's low-cost auto insurer. Call 752-6489 for a free quote today.
Roll Tide! Roll Tide!
There are 60 days until Alabama football. You are listening to Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler. Your connection to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama Athletics on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women. The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy.
All right, so we welcome you right back into the conversation right here, Alabama Tradition, the past, present, future, the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. We're talking a lot of Alabama Crimson Tide football. Little breaking news here. Kayvon Thibodeau, which is the Oregon rush-in, I'm honored to announce my first collaboration with two true pioneers, Phil Knight and Tinker Hatfield. Life is filled with many trials, tribulations, but God has guided my steps and provided me with great opportunities and the clarity to navigate them with wisdom and integrity. It holds true that God brings people in your life for a reason, and I've been so fortunate to have both Phil Knight, creator of Nike, and Tinker Hatfield, designer of some of the most popular Air Jordans, believe in me and my prophecy. I'm honored to announce my first collaboration with Phil Knight, the Kayvon Thibodeau art piece created by Tinker Hatfield, inspired by my success on the field. A word from Tinker, the art is completely hand-drawn on my iPad using Sketchbook Pro. He's an extraordinary, large, and quick athlete with game-changing ability. I hope I've captured his athletic ability, his impact that he's made for the University of Oregon. You look at Phil Knight connecting here with a player. This name, image, and likeness, we're a few days into it. You back up just a couple of minutes. It's not about just Kayvon, but it's about future recruits for Mario Cristobal. When you think about these type of announcements, because if I'm a five-star guy, never been one, probably never will be one in anything, but if I'm being recruited, I'm looking at schools that deliver the goods. And right now, Oregon may be out front in the name, image, and likeness conversation when you look at their relationship. And Phil Knight has tried to buy one everywhere he's been. When you look at Oregon, he's trying to do it every – look at the money that he's dumped in that facilities. Go out and get a guy like Mario Cristobal. We'll see if they can win this name, image, and likeness, but they may be the leader out front. Martin, your reaction to name, image, and likeness, we're 1 week in. Any opinions change, or is it about what you expected?
Kind of what I expected, Ryan. I would say that probably the most surprising part is the number of non-players, non-contributing players, backup players, and not being ugly with that, but the Paul Tysons and Pierce Quicks of the world, you know, getting opportunities to sign not just the big name guys, out there. So I think that that's probably been one of the surprises. I do think there's some things coming, Ryan, that are going to, you know, possibly bring some headaches that we haven't seen yet. But I still like the process, and I'm in total agreement with you that this is a huge announcement for Oregon moving forward.
Well, it's just future recruiting. It's going to be huge for that. I mean, you're going to be able to go, hey, let me go ahead and get that brand started with Nike, and I'll build that relationship early.
Well, here's the thing, Ryan. Is Air Jordan considered Nike brand? Like a school can have a deal with Nike, and another school can have a deal with Air Jordan, right?
Jacob, do you know the answer to that? You know, is it considered a brand?
I think they're technically separate in terms of contracts like that. So Michigan being Air Jordan,
Florida,
and Florida being Air Jordan, they're still not technically Nike schools.
Right, and the reason I point that out is, you know, the Alabama kids can't sign with Nike, but say Trevor Lawrence was coming out right now, if you were Nike, would you go ahead and start a Trevor Lawrence brand, like a whole separate entity that's not Nike? And it's the Trevor Lawrence brand, Air Trevor or whatever. Are we going to see some of that for these guys to get them locked in earlier? Because if you have that brand, it may not be that big a deal in college, but if you've already helped Trevor Lawrence, then when he gets ready to go to the NFL, he's going to sign with Nike, right?
Sure.
Most likely. He's not guaranteed, but most likely. He didn't get all of that. And that's what Jacob answered my question. I think they're separate contracts that go, you know, even though it's the same design in terms of the swoosh, but the brand on the back is that, you know, iconic Michael Jordan, you know, figure. So.
Well, and we saw it. Listen, I'm not against name, image, and likeness. I've kind of said that, you know, my position kind of changed when we talked about 12-game college football playoff expansion. And so I'm not one of those that I'm like, get everything that you can possibly get. But you read the story that's coming out of Miami in the last, you know, couple of days when we talk about adding Dan Lambert plans $500 a month endorsement deal for every Miami Hurricanes football player on scholarship. Now, that's another one of those future recruiting top tools. So you combine that with everything else that you're getting as a student athlete, and this are probably not the only deals. I mean, we know that De'Ara King is a guy that, you know, will probably demand even more. I think we open up some shady areas, and this is the problem. Because I don't know who's managing this. And I'm not talking about the schools. It's kind of like writing yourself a speeding ticket. Nobody does that. Nobody goes, well, you know what? I was speeding. Let me write myself a ticket, and I'm going to mail in, you know, $165. It's who's managing this. And if anything I know about college athletics is we have a lot of coaches that will camp out in the gray area. And that's not a reason not to do it. It's just a part of the conversation when we look at it. That's my anxiety around this.
But Ryan, I think there's going to be a lot less people in the gray area than it's in it now illegally.
Oh, so you think less?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's more people violating rules right now than, I mean.
But it goes back to it. I say, who's in charge? Nobody's in charge right now. The enforcement staff is.
Right now, there's, like this morning, Alabama reported their
little secondary violations. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them, Ryan, violation. Somebody went more than 30 miles away from campus. Violation. Somebody, a coach tweeted support that appeared to endorse an instructor, and then that instructor posted that tweet. Violation. Now the staff is prohibited from contacting the recruits associated with that particular individual. Why is that a violation? Okay? So you've created a rule. Oh, hey, this guy's a great coach. So shouldn't I be allowed to say this guy's a great coach and then maybe even help young people get an opportunity to go to this coach versus some of these jacklegs that do a better job of marketing and are not really good coaches, and then their kids don't – when their kids get the program, they wash out. Gymnastics posted a graphic to a social media site that endorsed an event coming up. Hey, there's going to be a Nike showcase. That was a violation. So you see what I'm saying? Like, there's so many things that they have made violations that should never have been violations. There's so many things that we perceive as fans that are wrong, that should not be wrong. And they're only wrong because we've been told and conditioned that they're wrong. Some guy said we drank the Kool-Aid around amateurization of college athletes. And now, do you think 10 years from now, Ryan, the people who are getting into radio, this is not even a conversation? Because that's what they would have grown up with. We're just having to learn because it's new. But I think there's a lot less rules that will be violated and broken now, because only the thugs and the cheats are going to have to cheat now. The honest people, someone asked me, said, well, what do you think about it? I said, now, the reason I like it is because the honest guy will now get something. The honest football player, the honest tennis player, the honest, the one that follow the rules, now they can actually get something versus having to cheat.
Well, you go back to the NCAA. I've said it multiple times. They've outgrown – college athletics has outgrown the NCAA.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, because they no longer can do what they were set up to do.
They didn't evolve, Ron. They haven't evolved to what they need to be doing. They're still trying to do what they were trying – well, first of all, Ron, they started off to help the players. Then they grew to a point, and this is, well, look, once again, I am so tired of having to apologize for having an opinion, so I'm not this time. It's just like, you know, a lot of unions. Unions started off with a great intention, and then it became about the union versus about the people. The NCAA started off with great intentions, protecting the players, helping the players. Then all of a sudden, it flipped, and it became about protecting the organization and protecting the NCAA and protecting their money, and they did that at the expense of the players, much like credit unions do it at the expense of the new young employees. It's not fair across the board, and so they need to either revision their purpose, or they will become obsolete in a matter of years.
Jacob, you got some opinions on this. Jump in, share, because I know name, image, and likeness is something that you hold very high.
Well, to me, like I, one of my biggest concerns is right there with yours. If a New Mexico school starts to gain some traction, becomes the next Cincinnati within the next 5 years, then we know that has a lot to do with the situation with them being one of the first states to have an NIL law. And why wouldn't it? Why would they police themselves if they're able to maneuver their own gray areas and not upset anybody and not get to a point where it feels like laws have to be enacted or changed? Who's going to stop them? And why would you stop yourself? Okay. That is something.
What's the gray areas that we're concerned about, though? What's a gray area in name, image, and likeness?
See, that's the thing, is what's going to be considered cheating and what's not. And
right.
Like, I get that there's all those unknowns that come with it.
But I think we all have to agree that name, image, and likeness, when you're not allowed to use it as a recruiting tool. And I think that's where it's going to go. I think these coaches are going to go out, and they're going to go, Martin Houston, I tell you what, man, if you go to Alabama, I'm going to get you a $50,000 deal. You're not supposed to be able to do that, according to what I've been able to read. Auburn goes to you and says, you know what, Alabama said $50,000 for you. Martin, I'll do 75. I'll get you the best lumber company in this state to endorse you. And I think that's where it's going to get a little bit dirty.
But Ryan, what are they doing now?
This is the way I've been putting it. Is the speed limit was always 45, but everybody kept going 55.
Sure.
So they just bumped the speed limit to 55. You're still going to have those people that go 60. And I'd still go 60. And I wouldn't blame anybody else that does. But that's basically the situation now.
Here's the thing, though. How many honest people did you just give the ability to go 55 like so many other people who were going 45? How many teams out there right now couldn't go 55, Jacob and Ryan, like the Alabamas and the Georgias? Who didn't have alumni bases like Alabama and Georgia that was as committed, but now they can now have – so they can kind of play fair. I mean, I personally don't – I mean, yes, it's going to hurt Alabama. It's going to hurt Georgia, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with other people getting opportunities, and if like you said, Jacob, if speed limit went to 55 – and Alabama was already going 55.
Well, maybe I would be happy with this if we just didn't have the rules of just letting it free for all, because that's what it's going to be anyway.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, so just let it go. If you want to use it as a recruiting tool, allow the best guy to win. And if you're USC or if you're Oregon or whoever, because we know that that's what's going to happen anyway.
But Ryan, if I do that, if I go out and say that, then I have a chance of being violating the rules. But if I decide to give a kid a freaking ride, I'm not going to get punished. I'm not. If I decide to buy a kid a lunch, if I decide to help that kid now, at least I don't get punished for it, you know. But there's always – that's why I was saying there's a lot of honest people who have stayed out of their support. And there's a lot of honest players who didn't get anything.
I think now, too, you get to a point where you're not stressing about it being a recruiting tool, because it's inherently a recruiting tool. You don't have to promise anything. But anybody that says, I want to play football at Oregon because of what they see with Kayvon Thibodeau today, they've got to say, well, I've got to earn it, just like Kayvon Thibodeau did. I don't think you're going to see those free handouts that would come with recruiting. Yes, in high school you've built the brand for yourself to be noticed and get the offer and all that sort of stuff. But I think you'll get to a point now where it's you've earned the opportunity to earn for yourself. We're not going to just give you something so that you'll play here.
Yes, and to me, Jacob, I think that levels it out more than what it is. I think that the fact that I see Thibodeau doing what he did. Here's the thing, Ryan. New Mexico State may not could keep the best the best football player in the country could be in New Mexico right now. And he's going to leave New Mexico because of the opportunity that's presented to him. The reason I went to college, Ryan, was to get a job to make enough money to hopefully be able to take care of myself and my family. And I chose the school that I thought would give me the best chance to do that. I chose Alabama because of their business school. Alabama's already had an advantage. They've spent money.
Sure.
So what's the difference in that being used when Nick Saban sits down and says, Martin, if you come to Alabama, you're going to have a chance to get one of the best business degrees ever. And then some other school comes in and they don't have that type of business school. What did he just use to get me to come here?
Sure.
A recruiting tool.
Yeah, he did.
Well, if he shows me Bryant Denny, and hey, Martin, you're going to get to play in front of 95, 100,000 people week in and week out. He's using that to recruit. So what's the difference, really, except for the players now get the benefit instead of just the coaches and the alumni? Ryan, it is $1 billion.
Then rewrite the rules and just say that, and that's the problem, is because we really don't have anybody that's saying, hey, this is what the rule is. It may be different in one state. It may be different in the other. It may be legal in Georgia, or it may be illegal in Alabama.
Okay, Ryan, are you a socialist or a capitalist?
States' rights!
Yeah.
Come on now.
I mean, I'm a guy that believes...
My point My point behind that is we're fearful of something that we don't know.
I'm busted. Maybe this is, I'm looking at it through crimson colored glasses. There's a new player in town. You know what?
Yes,
and this is the crazy part. And I'm fearful that this might be the part that this is the one rule that Nick Saban no longer has control.
Hey, Jacob, you know what the problem is? You know why Ryan is concerned?
Because maybe Alabama has some competition now?
Dadgummit.
It could. There's a kid in California that would have come to Alabama that now stays at USC. There's a kid in Texas that stays at Texas. There's a kid in LH. All of a sudden, four or five.
I'm busted. I'm guilty. Yeah. Guilty as charged.
Hey, I'll take that kid from middle of nowhere Alabama, coached by Nick Saban, than somebody coached by one of those USC coaches. No matter what.
Let's break here. We're getting all heated about this. We've got a lot of passion, a lot of energy. We'll come back and squeeze in a couple of phone calls, and an Arkansas offensive lineman gets paid. We'll talk about that next. Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Power your services.
Alabama football countdown clock is driven by Crawford Insurance, Tuscaloosa's low-cost auto insurer. Call 752-6489 for a free quote today.
Roll Tide! Roll Tide!
There are 60 days until Alabama football.
Hot! It's awesome! You're having a fun! Have some fun!
Talking Alabama Crimson Tide football on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
I take you to offensive lineman out in Arkansas. An Arkansas barbecue franchise, Wright's Barbecue, has sponsored the entire Hogs offensive line. And that usually is a pretty big group, if I remember correctly, when you look at those guys. So the Big Nasties get some credit out in Arkansas. I don't know exactly what they'll get. I mean, it's a pretty well-respected barbecue place. So get a couple of slabs of ribs, a little bit of barbecue. But by the looks of those guys, I don't think they're going hungry, but who knows? Martin, we're going to welcome in a caller real quick, and I think he wants to chime in. Tony, you're in with Alabama Tradition. Martin Houston, myself, Ryan Fowler. I hope all is well.
Hey, all is still well. I really wanted to talk with Martin about this because he's right on point. He is right on point. And I think what a lot of people are hung up on is the idea of amateurism. It's dead. There is no more amateurism. You can be paid and play football now. Now, the NCAA, and if I know they're catching a lot of heat right now. I think it's a brilliant move to go ahead and let the boosters keep paying the kids that are playing football at the different schools and let it become open market. Amateurism allowed the NCAA to take advantage of the players and the school not pay them. Well, the schools are still not going to pay them, but are they going to allow the boosters to do so? Right now, all this stuff that's being signed is nothing. It's fluff. It's flutter or whatever. We're about to get some serious numbers that'll start coming in. And Martin, I mean, when you were at school at Alabama, was Terry Bowden took over – I mean, yeah, Terry Bowden took over at Auburn. Was that your senior year or
the year
you graduated?
The year after I graduated.
The year after you graduated.
'93.
Now we have documented, interview that Terry Bowden gave to a newspaper in Opelika stating when he showed up as the coach there, Wayne Hall gave him a payroll. And Terry Bowden said, "What is this?" And he said, "Well, this is our payroll." And he's like, and Terry Bowden's like, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get caught cheating and hurt my father's name." And Wayne Hall said, well, what am I supposed to do with this? We know this has been going on for a really long time at the disadvantage of the players because they had to keep it under wraps. You couldn't tell anybody. You'd get in trouble. Don't go get a new car. Don't do this. Don't do that. Now, now hopefully, college football will step up and let it be out in the open where it's not cheating.
Tony, you know, a lot of people and a lot of guys aren't old enough and people aren't old enough, but the Olympics used to be all amateur sports, right?
That's right.
And everybody
until
said
the dream team.
When they make it where they get rid of the amateurism, it's going to ruin the Olympics. Right? And it didn't.
That's right.
It did not ruin the Olympics. Yes, there's going to be some bumps and bruises in college football. And I'm telling you, I think the NCAA has snowed us all, Ryan.
Yep.
I think they have. I think that they knew that this was coming, and they fought it, and they pretended to go all the way to the Supreme Court and all of that stuff. And now they can go back to their presidents and go, man, we fought for it. We didn't want it. Because what would have happened if they had came out in support of it? They would have lost all of those presidents and commissioners. So they made the good fight, but they knew that this dog and pony show was coming to an end at some point. And Ryan, I was glad to hear you say when they made the decision within a year, this time last year, they were saying that we will not be going from four games for the foreseeable future. We won't even have the conversations till after the contract. And then in one offseason, Ryan, when they lost money, they came back without any consideration for these 18 to 22-year-olds and said, hey, to be a champion now, you're going to have to play, you know, this many more games. You're going to play the equivalent number of games as the NFL regular season if you're going to be a champion in our league. And a $4.5 million business on four games is going to move to a $1 billion industry, not college football, just the college football playoffs made $400 and something million. With 12 games, it will be a $1 billion industry by itself. And we're worried about
players. And the players aren't going to get any of that.
Freaking somebody giving them $500 or $1,000 under the table? Come on.
All right.
That's right.
Tony, we got to get out of here, man. We only got like 2 minutes left.
Hey, keep on preaching to the choir, literally and figuratively, Martin. Roll Tide.
Hey, thanks. Ryan, I got a question for you.
I'm old-fashioned. I'm trying to preserve. I'm trying to get Nick Saban to double digits, okay?
You freak.
But here's the thing, Ryan. Why do we fear – Why do we fear this so much in college sports versus everywhere else in society? Why do we feel like this is going to ruin college football? Those who do it best will still win. The advantage that Nick Saban has put out there. Make yourself a parent right now, Ryan. In this free-for-all, you talking about all these players and all these people, do you think parents are going to be watching it even closer now than they were before? Because as a parent, I now feel like I'm more likely for my son to get caught up in something illegal and whatever than I was before because of the fact that all types of people are going to come into this industry. And Nick Saban and Greg Burns with the advantage, they literally, I think, will have the advantage when they sit down and tell those parents, we're going to now start teaching your son budgeting and taxes. And they're taking it to the next level. The teams that don't do that, I don't think they're going to get as many kids as we think.
That's Martin Houston. He's all for name, image, and likeness. That's Jacob Harrison. He's all for name, image, and likeness. I'm just a little bit nervous. I mean, y'all busted me in the last 50 minutes. I get it. I mean, I'm coming clean. I mean,
hey, what'd they say last year about the pandemic? It was going to mess up Nick Saban and recruiting. How'd that go? It's Saban we trust.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my fault for not doubting Nick Saban. Maybe that's my My fault. But all right, we got to get out of here.
Alabama would do this as good or better than anybody. And
but the only problem is our state's not as big, man. I mean.
But our NIL law is great. And we have the best coach in college football.
And our brand is national.
Sure. Maybe even international in some ways.
Right.
All right, we got to get out of here. Marty Houston will wake you up tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Jacob will be back at 11, off the edge. New time, 11 until noon. We'll see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock. This is Alabama. Go ahead.
Hey, and by the way, congratulations, Jacob, man. Welcome to the lineup, bro.
Thanks.
There it is, 11 o'clock.
To the daytime lineup.
6 a.m., Martin Houston, Jacob at 11. I'll see you at 2. Good night, Tuscaloosa. Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm, humid afternoon. We'll have the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today, 86. The low tonight, 70. Tomorrow and Thursday, cloudy at times with scattered to numerous showers and storms both days. Highs between 80 and 83. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.